Life Among the Lord's Followers is the title of our message this morning, taken from Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. As you're thinking about the church, 120 people after the resurrection joined up in the upper room, and they were praying. And this morning, we started our worship at 9:30 with a scripture and prayer. And I think this is one of the elements of a church, is to open up any time we meet together with prayer. And according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both to Jerusalem in Judea and Samaria, and even the remotes are uttermost parts of the world." So our scripture today brings us together as a body of Christ, as it did in the book of Acts. You know, Luke continued his writings from the Gospel of Luke on into Acts. And Acts is a role model or to give us the instructions and how the church is to function under the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit. So as we read this morning, you're going to see the events and things that took place as Luke points them out to us. You know, this again is the inspiration that he received from God to write what he wrote from Luke on into the book of Acts. So look with me in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. "So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." Now you think about this. From 120 who was in an upper room, now as they proclaimed the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 now were added to the church. And that was pretty rapidly. So you see the work of the Holy Spirit, how Jesus said, you know, you go back to Jerusalem and you stay there till you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord kept his promise, and they prayed and things began to happen. And that's what we see here. So again, in verse 41, "So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. 43. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe." You know, wouldn't it be wonderful? You just come together and just in God's presence, you just feel that awe of his presence. That's how we should feel each day when we rise to a new day. Just stand in the awe of presence of the Almighty God. "And many wonders and signs by the apostles were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began to sell their properties and possessions and were sharing them with all and anyone that might have need." In verse 46, "Day by day, continually with one in mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together in gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day by day by day." My emphasis there. "Those who were being saved." So what a role model for the church today, as we see from the book of Acts. And this was put here for us to see as a people of God, a body of Christ, to see from 120 people to 3,000 that God added daily to those when they came together from house to house, breaking bread, praying and praising God, and taking communion together. So they were unified in mutual concern, as the scripture says, and they experienced both spiritual and numeric growth. And that is to, we still have that capability today in all of our churches, in all the things that we do in His name. So when we think about the fellowship, they were devoted. They were a devoted fellowship. That meant that they took serious what had been taking place from when they sensed the power of the Holy Spirit come upon them, and they went out and they began proclaiming the name of Jesus. So in verse 41, it tells that the Spirit worked to begin His church through the preaching of the word, saving people, being saved and baptized. And this was a multitude of people. You just think of all the people that was meeting from house to house, and the power of the Holy Spirit was working in each one of those settings. And then when they came together, where they were praising God and they were having baptisms. Now, we have faith in the Lord. And as we read His word, and as we pray, and as we worship, when we do all of these things that Acts is talking about here, then that nurtures our spirit. It makes us grow spiritually, and numerically we will grow as a church in numbers as well. And that took place rapidly. And we see trends of this happening throughout the world today. And it can happen daily with us, with all churches, if we follow the guidelines of what's taking place right here. Now, they was meeting daily, so they could not get enough of the Lord. Amen? They was excited, and things was happening. But they had not experienced the power of the Holy Spirit as they had experienced at that time. Now, when we experience the power of the Holy Spirit, we too should be motivated to get more involved and seek God's will for our lives and other people's lives as well. Now, new converts didn't merely just add Christianity to their already busy lives, but they devoted themselves to that Christian experience. And how they did that, they devoted means steadfast and single in mind in their faithfulness. So that is the key to the Christian life, is being devoted and faithfulness in our connection with one another. And then not only that, but they had the fellowship. And that's koinonia, which means participation and sharing. That means they got involved. They were working together and they had things in common. And they were sharing with one another, as the scripture says. And this was a unique gathering of the early believers. They were excited. Things were happening. Christ was on earth for 40 days, and He was still teaching them and preparing them for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that's why He told the disciples, and the angel said, "Why are you still standing here and gazing into the skies when the same Lord that you see have descended ascended into the heavens will come back again?" So now you got a great work to do. And Jesus said that to the disciples Himself. "You have a greater work to accomplish now, that I will be going back to the Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit will come, and He will teach you all things that I have taught you, and the things that we've talked about, the things that we've experienced. All of this will take place." And that's why they were instructed to go back to Jerusalem, because they knew where that setting was, and they knew how important it was for Jesus as He did His ministry there in Jerusalem. And much of His ministry was in Capernaum, and Jesus spent much of His time there, so they knew that it was important for them to go back and wait for the Holy Spirit. And that waiting, it was beneficial to them. And then there's another word that we often hear, and it says that, the word communion, another word for fellowship, means sharing and having in common, which also means fellowship. Now, sometimes we get that fellowship mixed up, don't we? We think fellowship is coming together and we just eat, right? Now, the fellowship was coming together in the spiritual line of what was taking place in their lives. That means they had everything in common because the Holy Spirit was bringing them together in thought and in mind, and therefore they were sharing and they were praising and worshiping God. Now, that is the fellowship that the Scriptures is talking about right here. See, there is no true fellowship without the Spirit within us, okay? Between us and the Lord our God. See, He draws us into the oneness and love and loves each of us through each other. And that's the fellowship that they were having. They loved each other together, and that was it, what they were experiencing. So sharing is a natural result of that communion or community, the group of people there. Now let's look at the word fellowship, which includes the breaking of the bread. Now, we break bread together, we come together, we eat together, and the disciples did that evening that Jesus proclaimed to them, "This is my last time with you before I go to the cross." And they still didn't get it. They still didn't. But I was thinking about the two followers on the road to Emmaus. As they were talking and Jesus joined them, and you think about this, as they were walking along and they was talking about Jesus' crucifixion, and Jesus joined them and he joined in on their conversation, and he said, what are you talking about? He said, you've been here? You experienced what we saw and so forth, and you don't know? And it wasn't until they invited Jesus to their home, he sat down with them, and they broke bread, and they took the meal together. He broke bread, and their eyes were open. You see how the Holy Spirit works? Sometimes we miss the obvious. They miss the obvious. Of Christ being in their midst, but they were so blinded what they experienced that they didn't look forward to Christ's resurrection as he said, and therefore they missed Jesus' presence until he broke bread with them, and then their eyes, and I believe their heart was open as well. So when we think about that, it's the book of Acts. It is a book that helps us to understand what the church is about. See, the church, God wants us to join in and participate in the things that we see that took place right here. Now, when you look at verse 43, it tells us the awe that began at Pentecost. Pentecost, 49 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Pentecost means. And the truth of the apostles' message is confirmed by the wonders and the signs through the work of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times people were looking for signs and they were looking for wonders. But Jesus said, just believe. Don't look for signs and wonders. And sometimes we put out fleeces, don't we? To see, you know, if what we're praying for is really going to happen. I'm not sure we should be doing that. Just trust in faith, as the church, early church did. But all of these other things, the signs and the wonders and the miracles that we see today that take place, we see that is a blessing of God, and that's God's graces still at work in the church and in our lives. So the apostles, they did perform many such wonders and signs, as these miracles were happening regularly and the people witnessed it and they were excited about it. John chapter 21 says that there was many other things that Jesus did that wasn't recorded. Well, there's many other signs and wonders that took place right here that Luke is talking about that's not also recorded. But there were so many, and they were day by day by happening. And sometimes we just look for those wonderful signs and wonders that we see that God's doing in our midst today. And we'll say, yes, God is at work. He's always at work. The Trinity is always at work. All right, now let's look at the second part of this. It says that they were unified in spirit. That means in the fellowship they was having. See, the depth of their sense of unity is illustrated right here in verse 44. I'm going to go back and read that verse again. And those who had believed, okay? There was many believed because they were saved and they were baptized. But many who believed were gathered and had all things in common. Kind of reminds you of the four Gospels, the synoptic. That's what it means. They were seen together. They had different views of how they wrote things, but it all meant the same thing. And the things that they experienced, they all would say, you know, this I just experienced this in my life. And someone else will say, I did too. It happened differently, but I still experienced it. So that means that they was having things in common and they were sharing it with each other. And the primary emphasis here is on the unity of the church. There's nothing better than the unity of the church. All believers having everything in common, seeing spiritually together, and they're making decisions that are adding to the kingdom of God. And that's what this unity of the church is. And if we bring the unity of the church back from all states, all nations, and so forth, then we will see the power of the Holy Spirit greater at work in our lives than we've ever seen in the last few years, if we acknowledge and see this. And it's, if the disciples were united prior to what I would think Pentecost, their unity was even more evident when the Spirit of unity came. They experienced that. They sure did. So now, in verse 45, your church were learning to live with and care for each other. That means they was meeting each other's needs. They was selling whatever they needed to sell to help someone else out. And thank goodness, you know, that's what churches do today. You know, we being the distribution center for all the churches in the area, people come here to get physical things, you know, things to help them. But guess what else they get? They get that spiritual things that they need most of all. Jesus met people's need physically sometimes before he met them spiritually. And see, we're just following the example of Jesus as he walked upon this earth and he went about doing good things for people, and most of all saving them. And then they were growing in their fellowship. The early church was marked by their faithful attendance. I think Hebrews 10:25 says something about that, doesn't it? It says that, forsake not yourself assembling together, some do, all the more as you see Christ appearing. So attendance was very important for the early church, and it's very important for us today. And they were faithful in their attendance. They were faithful coming together. They were faithful in their praying. They were faithful in their sharing. They were faithful in their praising one another and their fellowship and breaking bread. So no home would be large enough for many to meet together. So they met in different homes and more homes back then because they didn't have facilities like this. And now that we have facilities far beyond, you know, our comprehension as far as people meeting together, there's no reason that all churches here in Versailles and surrounding counties could not be full. They should be full They should be full. If we follow the example and the methods that the new church had back then, we'd be overflowing. We'd be expanding our walls, getting wall stretchers and things like that, and expanding our walls. And that's what the power of the Holy Spirit was doing in their lives. So, because they practiced the presence of Jesus, they was practicing the presence of Jesus. Their hearts were glad, and it was sincere. Now, in the harmony of the early church, in verse 47, indicates that these like-minded, unified people experience spiritual and numerical growth. Now, I don't want to leave out praising. Praising marked the early church, as Luke continually uses the term seven times. Someone go open the door for Lee. Seven times. So this joy, this love, this unity of purpose, it produced much fruit, and daily they added to the church. Now in closing, here in chapter 2 of Acts, it comes to a close in this section. Yet this chapter really is only beginning for what happened at Pentecost. And that is that the Lord wants every Christian and congregation to know. And that's why Luke penned what he penned, and he wrote with sincerity from the inspiration of God, that everything leading up from the Pentecost up to this day, it began with the virgin birth, the Messiah's ministry, the cross, the empty tomb, and the 40 days of Jesus' walking upon this earth, preparing the people for his ascension into heaven, and leaving instructions to the church, the people, those who were following him, the importance of the responsibility they had. And I want to leave you with this morning. Without the Pentecost, there would be no church. Because the Holy Spirit would not have come. But without the Spirit, there would be no Pentecost or no church. Without the Spirit creating worship and fellowship, you cannot have true Spirit. But you see what Luke did for us? He laid it all out. He listened to the power of the Spirit leading him through the inspiration, the revelation of the Scriptures. And we have the role model of the church for today, for tomorrow, for months and years to come. That's why we break bread together. That's why we worship together. That's why we serve together. That's why we have things in common together. It's all because the work of the Holy Spirit. When you tap into the energy of the Holy Spirit, guess what? Things happen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the church. It is a great organism. It's a working organism. It was established on a cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He said to Peter, "You are the rock." And on this rock, not Peter, but on the foundation of Jesus Christ, going to the cross, dying for our sins. On this rock, the solid foundation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It hasn't, it won't, it never will. That's your promise. The church is here to stay. The people of God are here to do ministry. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your great kingdom, that we keep building upon it, that you have given us the gifts. You've given us the opportunities. That's why we are to ask, we are to seek and knock on every opportunity. Lord, I thank you for each one here seated in these pews this morning and those listening live. And Lord, may we all be stirred continually, even more, knowing that one of these days you are going to split the skies open. We'll see you coming from the east. The dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remain will be called up to be with you. But until then, as you told the disciples, you have a great work to do. If that doesn't stir us, that doesn't get us excited and motivated, I don't know what would. But every time we hear your word, every time we come to church, we should be motivated because we have the Spirit who lives within us. And Lord, we just thank you that you have chosen us as your people, people within this world who claim the name of Jesus, are entrusted and given a great responsibility to add to your kingdom. Lord, I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.